So, just to get us, for me anyway, to tune into this Bhagavatam, which is such a service for the speaker and the listener. This is a very nice prayer from the Padma Purana. Samsagare magnam dinamam kununiti karma grihaya kritangam mamudava bhavam ava. I've fallen into the ocean of repeated birth and death, and I'm totally distressed. My karma is like crocodiles ready to bite me. O ocean of mercy, please pick me up from the ocean of material existence. Srimad Bhagavatakyayo yam pratyaksha krishnevahi shivrikrito shimayanata murtayam bhavasagare. This Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Krishna himself. O my Lord, to get release from this cycle of birth and death, I have taken shelter at your lotus feet. Manurate madhyayo yam sabhala sivatalaya nivaganeva kartavyam dashaham tava keshava. My dear Keshava, I am your servant. Please fulfill this desire of mine in serving you through this Srimad Bhagavatam. Narayan namaskritya naram jiva narottamam devim sarasvatam vyasam tato jayam udiyet. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan and unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. And there's one verse. This is from the first canto, which also acts with this introduction in this canto 8. It'll give us an understanding of who this Sukadev Goswami is, who's speaking and being inquired to by Maharaj Parikshit. Yam bravajantanu petta petya krityam divapiano nviraha katara adyuhava putretitan mayataya taravo binedus tam sarvabhuta hirdayam munim manatusmi. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage Sukadev Goswami, who can enter into the hearts of all. When he went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyas, leaving home without undergoing the reformation of the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher castes, his father, Vyasadeva, fearing separation from him, cried out, "O my son, indeed, only the trees which were absorbed in the same feelings of separation, echoed in response to the bereaved father." So we can see from that verse the nature of this Bhagavatam, the hearing and the speaker. And so what I'd like to do before chanting this verse is to read the two verses which will lead us into this third verse. This is text 1 and text 2, translations. King Parikshit said, "O my Lord, my spiritual master, I have fully heard from your grace about the dynasty of Svayambhuva, mano. But there are also other manos, and I want to hear about their dynasties. Kindly describe them to us. O learned Brahmana Sukadev Goswami, the great learned persons who are completely intelligent describe the activities and appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead during various manvataras. We are very eager to hear about these narrations. Kindly describe them. So, interesting to see how these two verses are linked. I remember Prabhupada, he said, this Kurukshetra Dham, what is its significance? And he then pointed out, he said, its significance is that Krishna's there. So, this first verse where he says, tell me about these different manus and their dynasties. But actually, it's not their dynasties that the words are relevant. It's that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the narrations of the Personality of Godhead's pastimes actually are the important thing during these manus. This is what so they've linked, and this is where Prabhupada, he brings in his purport. So, nothing without connection to Krishna, or anything connected without Krishna, is actually useless. You know, if we don't have that, and it talks about renunciation, you know, where it says those complete renunciates, you know, they reject everything without knowledge of its relationship to Krishna, they're incomplete in their renunciation. But the yuktavragya and asaktasya visayam yutartum upayunjataha, where we connect everything with Krishna, whatever we do, everything is somehow, if we can connect it to Krishna, it becomes perfect, it becomes spiritualized, it becomes yoga. So likewise we have these two verses here. But what is very significant there, he says, O my Lord, my spiritual master. He's in a state of submissive hearing. He wants to know. It's on the eighth canto now. And still he's listening. And he's not taking any food or water or anything. He's absorbed. So this brings us to this text 3. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. O learned Brahmana, kindly describe to us whatever activities the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who created this cosmic manifestation, has performed in the past manvataras, is performing at present, and will perform in the future manvataras. So, I'll offer a prayer to my spiritual masters. I read this for some inspiration, some idea, and the previous acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, and all other previous acharyas, and the deities, Sri Sri Radha Gokunanda Gornitai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Om Adhyana Timarandasya Jananjana Salakya Chakshon Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakopachupiyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanabeyo Vaishnavabeyo Namo Namaha. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said that both He and the other living entities present on the battlefield had existed in the past. they existed at present, and they would exist, they would continue to exist in the future. Past, present, and future always exist, both for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and for ordinary living entities. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. Both the Lord and the living entities are eternal and sentient, but the difference is that the Lord is unlimited, whereas the living entities are limited. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the creator of everything, and although the living entities are not created but exist with the Lord eternally, their bodies are created, whereas the Supreme Lord's body is never created. There is no difference between the Supreme Lord and his body, but the conditioned soul, although eternal, is different from this body. This connection that Srila Prabhupada has given here, that it's a final statement actually, though the Lord is eternal, we are he's unlimited, we are also eternal, but our bodies are different. The Lord's body is the same, it's eternal, but our bodies are created in this cosmic manifestation, and they're different from the soul. And it's an interesting thing. There's two bodies we consider for this material manifestation. There's our material body, the elements, material elements, and there's the subtle body. The subtle body and these material elements are somehow combined and formed under the modes of material nature. So we have certain desires, certain characteristics, certain personalities. And this is a fundamental truth that Krishna says that we have to understand that we're all his part and parcels, and that we're his. If we look at the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 35, this is after he says, submit to the spiritual master, get this knowledge. And then he says, what this knowledge is, to realize that we're actually part and parcel of God, the Supreme, and that we're his. That this is a very powerful statement, because he says we'll never return if we realize this basic truth. And to realize this truth, somehow or other, in a material existence where there's this competition between material nature and our spiritual nature, there's a warfare going on. Maya is sort of so-called our enemy, but also she's helping us in knowing who we are. You know, she kicks us. And if we aren't aware that these kicks are for our benefit, then the message which is being given to us, that this world is not your home, that this material existence, this cosmic manifestation, is not your home, then we miss the point. The Krishna's point is that we're actually eternal, we're part of him, and that we're his. And so there's an interesting aspect to here, because this is the difference between the Lord and ourselves. This is this inconceivable position of having always existed, like the Lord has always existed, is very difficult to grasp when you're in a conditioned body which is so-called born, sort of exists and maintains for some time, and then this body disappears. So to relate to this, somehow we have to come to the spiritual platform to see what are the constants, factors in our spiritual nature that will give us a clue, will give us some realization. Now, somehow or other, it's usually this material nature is there as the teacher. This material nature is teaching us that because this body, when it finishes, it so-called dies, this body just disappears and fades into the element, that this should be a sort of a clear message to us if we understand this principle of eternality that Krishna is trying to tell us. So this is also a link here, is faith, to understand this eternality. And I don't know about you, but when Prabhupada and I read this Bhagavad Gita, and it told me that the soul's eternal and that there's reincarnation, I found it sort of, it made sense. You know, it was just like a truth. You know, it was, yeah, that must be right. But I'd not related to it in my Christianity upbringing, because it doesn't say anything like that. It talks about soul clearly in the Bible as being separate from the body, quite clear, but it doesn't give you this in-depth grasp of the soul, that it actually, the soul is us, this body is temporary, and this soul will continue after this body. But in the Christian conception, they have this hell and heaven. It's a sort of eternal position. You're eternally in hell, or you're eternally in heaven. But actually, we find out from this Bhagavad Gita that the heaven and the hells are in the cosmic manifestation, the temporary existence, and that the eternal nature is in another existence, separate from heaven and hell, which is referred to so much in Christianity, but they refer to soul so much. So this is like a conclusion that we can have from this Vedic information, that there is an eternal realm, that heaven is not the eternal realm, and this is a misunderstanding of the spiritual goal of life. So, but when this body gives us this concept of hell and heaven, is relating to not necessarily to service or love, it's relating to reward and punishment. Whereas we're in the Vedic conception, our journey is based on attraction and love. And it's a very different concept from what if we misunderstand the teachings of the Bible. Because in the Bible, Jesus quite clearly says the first and foremost commandment is to love God with all thy mind, thy body, and thy soul. He separates them. So he knows the principle of gross body, subtle body, and spirit soul. But it's not analyzed in the way that Krishna gives it to us. So there's this misconception that it's all one in Christianity, that somehow the body, the mind, and the soul are the person, and that somehow at in the revelations you somehow come back and you resurrect into this world, into a paradise. So it's still on the bodily conception. But to get onto the spiritual plane, where Prabhupada points out Krishna's got an eternal body, he's telling us it's the eternal body that we're after, that somehow or other, and we have to make this link with Krishna and get our eternal body back, which Prabhupada informs us again, we've forgotten our original loving service to the Lord. It's there, it's just covered up by this material message. So, having said that, I want to read from Bhaktivinod Thakur, where he says, he talks about this misconception of I and mine, where we relate to the cosmic manifestation. But also, he gives us the revelation of where he's realized this I and mine is a shackle. In truth, all things belong to you. No jiva is ever the owner of anything. The tiny soul wanders in the world mistakenly, thinking in the terms of aham, I am this material body and mind, and mama, everything related to this body is mine. Thus he suffers the consequence of both sorrow and fear. Such a powerful statement. When we relate everything to our body, we'll suffer with sorrow and fear. This is the identification with this world and this body. It's suffering and fear. This is the very difficult thing to for ourselves to realize, as well as others, like when we try and pass this message on. So then he says, the conditioned soul thinks that all the things related to the false conceptions of I and mine are his exclusive treasures, calling them his own. His mind is firmly convinced of this gross delusion. Delusion. In Bhagavatam it talks to distinguish reality from illusion. Prabhupada's pointed out reality here, our eternal nature. So illusion is to think that we're with this temporary nature. So this is gross delusion. Gross, he means the senses, they're gross. Spiritual is subtle. And it's like a loud noise. You can't hear the soft noises with a loud noise. So this bodily conception is like gross. It's loud. It's deceiving us. It's a come to me. Due to such vanity, I fell into this material world, floundering in the ocean of mundane existence. Like a drowning man, I suffer the pangs of rising and sinking in that ocean. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this picture he gives us. And when I say picture, this is Sukadeva Goswami. These people, when they speak, and like Sanjaya, he was receiving the picture from the battlefield, he was passing that on to Dhritarashtra. He was hearing what was happening at the battlefield. Likewise, Sukadeva Goswami is giving us this picture, but it's a picture that is realized within the soul. It's not done with our seeing physical eye. It's an internal thing, like when somebody reads you the story, you're there, you're into it. Somehow it's spoken in such a way that it penetrates the heart. Sukadev Goswami entered into the hearts of all. Prabhupada entered into the hearts of all. Why? Because he was surrendered. In those prayers we spoke the other day, where he went to America and he said, help me and make them understand. I cannot do this by my own ability. I have no knowledge, he says. But he says, I can speak in such a way that you, if you so wish. So his surrendered position, Shri Shri Radha Gokul Nanda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. What it did, he disconnected himself from his so-called, if there was any there, his false ego to his real ego. That is a humble, medium servant of Krishna. Krishna spoke through him. Krishna spoke through Sukadev Goswami. This is the real understanding, actually, that whatever sound vibration that our soul receives, if it's spoken by the pure devotee, our lives will be changed. I can remember when I first went and heard a Prabhupada disciple. It was like a little class on the Isle of Wight, and it was advertised, Bhakti Yoga and Vedic Astrology. And it was very interesting. I went there. I had two missions. There was one for my mum and one for me. I liked yoga. My mum liked Vedic Astrology. You know, so I listened to him, and he said this thing. And he had the, I don't know if it's the same sound vibration, but if you receive the vibration, the sound vibration from the spiritual master, and you sincerely pass on that message, then that sound vibration is as pure as what you get from your spiritual master. And he said, this human form of life has a purpose. And I'd never heard anything like that. You know, it was interesting thing, because I'd not heard that in my Christian background at all. It hadn't been related to me in that way. And that this human form of life, so it was relating also to other living entities. And it was such a statement, and sort of it opened my ears a bit. It woke me up, sort of thing. So it was just a very simple statement like that. So, here, he says, due to vanity. Vanity means, like false ego, everything's related to me and how I look, what I can do, and that I am happy. It's a self-centered situation, vanity. And in the Bible it says the thing is, St. Paul, in one of his verses there, he says, all is vanity. And it's a really powerful statement, you know, to come away from vanity, to come away from our self-centeredness. I take shelter at your lotus feet, which deliver one from fear, and dedicate the whole of myself to you this day. Now Krishna says in that Bhagavad Gita, you're mine. And it's very difficult, you know, because we have this so-called independence, but this independence, so-called independence, is such a powerful influence on us that we think we're independent. In other words, that our little bit of dependence depends on Krishna. It's a paradox. But our very existence, because we're part and parcel of Krishna, we are dependent on his existence for our existence, because we're part of him. And it's so deep, it's like an ocean, what Krishna's presenting us in such a thing. Because you're part and parcel of the Supreme, and that you're mine. Just like in this body, there are many living entities also. But when this body finishes, that also their existence, there's a dependence on, for their existence upon this soul that is within this body. It's dependent on spirit. So many living entities within this body, like we're part and parcel, we're still dependent on Supreme Soul. It's like he's the huge body and we're part of his body. But to understand Krishna in this relationship, these loving relationships in the spiritual world, there we go to the inconceivable nature of Krishna, where actually we have to relate everything that we are Krishna's, that somehow this serving, not like the little living entities within us, they don't seem to have that individual loving relationship with us. They're like, it's a mutual living existence. But this concept of love is related to the Supreme Soul. So all the living entities that are within me and this soul are dependent on the Supreme Soul, that we're his. So there should be no vanity. Actually, how can we be vain? You know, we can't do anything without the Supreme Soul. So he says he's taken shelter at his lotus feet. He's realized this. He says, the false conception of thinking in terms of I and mine have left me now. May it never again find a place to settle within my heart. You know, this is very nice expression, isn't it? You know, this little bird of desire that can settle within us. And it's there all the time because we're in a cosmic manifestation. So many desires can show themselves in our lives. I don't want to go into them all because time's short, but anyway, the desires, we don't want this conception of I and mine to settle in our heart. Please give me the strength alone, O Lord, that I may be able to keep this false conceptions of I and mine far away. Again, it's an appeal to that the person, the Supreme. I can't do it, but you can. But so many times, isn't it, in devotional life, we get all depressed. Why do we get depressed? Because we think we're the doer. That we think we're in control. But actually, we have the motor material nature. You know, our bodily conception and our desires, they're controlling us. And the only one who can control the motor material nature, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, those who surrender unto me can easily cross over this ocean of material existence, these modes of material nature, if we surrender. Because he's in charge of that. He's the super soul. He controls the material modes of nature. And I just wanted to relate to you an example of this. How many times in certain situations that are fearful, that somehow or other, that we can still do something and forget ourselves? Usually it's in a loving relationship, actually, that we forget our own safety. You can see it in definitely parental relationships and things like that. They'd rather sacrifice their well-being for those who are dependent on them. So, in a sense, it's a loving thing, this sacrifice, this giving up fear. Our link with Krishna through devotional service is, we can do any service. There need no be fear, you know, no fear. Because he says, I'm your shelter. I'm the goal of all sacrifice. I'm your best friend. So we should ask ourselves, you know, why do we get so uptight? Why do we get fearful? Why do we get depressed? Prabhupada says the secret of surrendering to Krishna is that we understand that Krishna, everything is part of Krishna's plan. Everything. Whatever I am doing now, I'm meant to be doing. And yet, somehow or other, with our misconception of I am mine, I'm doing, this is my body, that we lose touch, that we're being controlled totally by Krishna, actually. And so, why should we get depressed? It's false ego. It's the false ego. So it's a case of an internal surrender. It's a realization. It's knowledge. But also, you got to do it. So if you're in a fearful situation, it is at that time, then you start to understand that this Krishna is in charge. So many times we have things to do that we're afraid of doing. And if we do it as service, this is the overriding factor, loving service. It's you'll do something as sacrifice. This will take you over that hurdle of worrying about yourself. We worry about the what's going to happen to me in the future, isn't it? And the talks about past, present and future, but Krishna knows past, present and future, says here. And actually, he says that Krishna, here he says, he describes that Krishna knows this past, present and future, and somehow, though he's in an eternal nature, he understands what it's doing. It's part of this cosmic manifestation. He's made it. But what he's trying to do is to get us to live in our eternal nature. He wants us to understand that we are eternal. That there should be no fear. So, what is it, King Yudhisthira? He says, we live in this world, in this material existence, this material body, as though we are eternal, that this body will continue forever, and we think it will never finish. But that's false conception of the I. He's not talking to the eternal nature. But he's relating to the eternal nature, where the eternal nature does not relate to the body. He's saying, you know, it's like when you cry when somebody leaves this world, the eternal soul does not understand this position of something being temporary. We cry. We cry. Eternal, we have eternal relationships, actually, but somehow we got to find out what they are. So, this thing about our worries, our depressions, all these things, but the Prabhupada, he showed us what he could do without worries and without depression. He showed that actually he would just do something. He would get inspiration, and that is the way to do things. Just follow your inspiration. Don't think about the future, don't think about the past. Follow your inspiration. Krishna says, don't think about the result of anything in the Bhagavad Gita so many times. That's mine. So if you go on book distribution, you know it's nothing to do with you, ultimately. It's not to do with your ability. It's all permission. It's all sanctioned. That person will take the book, this person won't take the book. Krishna said to Arjuna, he's on the battlefield, these people are already put to death. Why are you behaving in this way? You can fight or you don't fight. That's up to you. But you can do it for me or you can decline to fight. But they're going to die. It's a sort of wake-up point for Arjuna. So then it says, Bhaktivinoda begs at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda for the grace which causes the illusory concepts of pride to flee. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premananda. Yeah. Okay. Any questions, comments?